We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
So, one of the stories that's trending, Prince's memoir is out, The Beautiful Ones, now available. If you'd like to buy it online on Amazon or one of the local bookstores.
Are you mentioned in the book?
No.
No.
No. Not even in the appendix.
You didn't go to his school when he was a kid?
No, I did not. He had nothing, nothing good or bad to say.
That's good. Yeah.
At least he didn't lump me in with Katy Perry and Ed Sheeran.
Right?
Apparently.
Some smack talk right there
in
the book.
One of the blurbs in the book, he worries about the future of radio, and Prince complains, they keep trying to ram Katy Perry and Ed Sheeran down our throats, and we don't like it no matter how many times they play it. Now, in fairness, Prince wrote the first 28 pages before he died. Mm-hmm. And then writer Dan Peepenbring.
Really? Really?
I hope I'm saying that right, not
You're
mangling that.
Not.
Dan Peepenbring. Let's just call him Dan. Dan finished the book at the request of Prince's estate, and it's as close as we'll ever come to a Prince autobiography. Look, he hoped that his autobiography could, quote, solve racism, and he also saw the book.
Don't you think that's a little vain?
Well, I don't
know. Someone's autobiography can solve racism? I mean, did he really say that?
Apparently.
Okay.
I think it could help. But solving it, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Look, he saw the book as a way, George, to extend the activism that he had begun, especially his work with Black Lives Matter. One of the things that took me by surprise, his dad never gave him the talk, the birds and the bees
mm-hmm.
talk.
Mm-hmm.
What every father, just about every father has with their son.
Well, every good father, every father that cares and every father that wants it.
I think it's a part of parenting.
Yeah,
I think we're obligated.
Rite of passage.
Apparently, his stepfather saved himself from having the talk by dragging Prince and some of his friends to what was described as a, quote, raggedy R-rated drive-in movie. That's where Prince learned about sex.
So here, watch this porn. This is how you have sex. Good times.
Yeah. And he thought that this would be the first in a series of books. So anyway, we'll take what we can get. Little piece of Prince and...
Wait, he thought the autobiography was going to be the first in a series?
It was going to be a series of memoirs, a series
of
books,
okay.
Looking back, yeah.
Hmm.
And he did write the first 28 pages, then he died. But the whole idea was based on photos mm-hmm. and memoirs and... information at Paisley Park, they opened up Paisley Park mm-hmm. to this writer and said, here, you complete Prince's autobiography. So it's out there. It's called The Beautiful Ones.
I can't wait to dig in. I will definitely be reading it. So David and I spent the morning at McDonald's. And you know why we spent the morning at McDonald's? Because David put his foot in his mouth on the air a few weeks ago when this happened. It's a Beyond Meat patty.
And it's fried. So
well,
I
don't know how they cook them. They put them on that.
Yeah.
They're not like deep fried. They just put them on the sizzle thing. I don't know.
The
how
sizzle
do they
thing?
Make them at
the
McDonald's?
The sizzle thing?
I never worked at McDonald's. It's not kosher.
You mean a grill?
Yeah, that.
The sizzle thing?
But is it a grill?
They take them out of that plastic tray and put them in the microwave for 15 seconds.
There you go, in the microwave. So they're not even frying them. So that's even better. They're going in the microwave.
I want to hear more about the sizzle thing.
They were fried last month at a factory in Ohio.
Okay. So there's that. Really making it sound delicious, David. Thank you for that. Okay, so the owner of many McDonald's franchises out in Cottage Grove, Jim Duvall, was listening to us that day. And boy, David and I are lucky that he was. He then reached out to us and invited us to visit with his family. It's a family-owned company, a family-owned operation, and see how the burgers are actually made. And David, are they fried in a microwave?
I would like to point out first that there was a microwave, two microwaves that Mike, one of the managers, actually pointed out to us.
Mike pointed out the microwave?
Yes, Mike pointed out the microwaves, okay. And they are used for a few products. I think the, like,
eggs, maybe?
I think it was like the pancakes and some breakfast.
Pancakes, I'm sorry.
But it's not for the
burgers. It is
not,
I can confirm.
That's where they use the sizzle thing.
They use the sizzle thing. It's actually like this George Foreman-esque press that they put that. Mm-hmm. And Jordan and I got to do this. You can see the video on Twitter. We got to grab a fresh, never frozen. Apparently they changed that a few years ago.
Right.
So now the quarter pounders are fresh when they come to the restaurant. And we got to put it on the sizzle thing, the George Foreman deal, and cook them for 75 seconds. And I ate my own quarter pounder.
And they are, as you mentioned, they're never frozen and they're made to order, which is what also we learned. They don't sit in a pile ready to go, getting stale. They are made to order, so they are fresh, made to order. We learned a lot. I urge you to watch the video because this was an experience. I never worked in fast food. I mean, look, I'm kosher. I can't work really in that space. I guess I could. But so we got a whole tour from the Duvall family, from Pat Duvall, about how the assembly line works. Our old friend Jeff Grayson was there from television. He's our PR guy. And it was really a fascinating look at what goes on behind the scenes. There must have been, I don't know, David, a dozen people working in that kitchen?
I think at least, yeah.
At least. So many people. And it's a complete well-oiled machine, and they are busy. That is a hard job.
Jor, it's one of the best gigs I've ever had. One of my first jobs was working at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And if you work cleanup and you left at 11 o'clock at night, you could take whatever food was left. Whatever was left, you could take home. And my dog was extra happy to see me. But I worked with a buddy who could get a complete. He would lean down when the manager wasn't looking. He pretended to scrape the sizzle thing, the grill.
The grill.
He would scrape it. And he could fit an entire quarter pounder with cheese in his mouth at once.
Okay. That's an interesting skill.
So I was just blown away by that.
Don't recommend trying that at home.
I think now he's a U.S. senator. I just a hunch.
Doesn't surprise me either.
Big mouth, yeah.
But great time. Thank you, McDonald's, for inviting us out in Cottage Grove. Thanks to the Duvall family and Jeff Grayson. And you can see the videos. We post them on the Jordana and Paul Facebook and the CCO Facebook and at JordanaWCCO on Twitter. It was an education and great fun.
Very cool. I'm glad you did that. This next trender, I thought of you. I'm hoping you have never done this during a ball game. Major League Baseball cracked down hard on two women who flashed their breasts on live television during Game 5 on Sunday of the World Series.
I haven't done it yet.
So you're saying?
I'm just saying. I mean, in another lifetime, it could happen.
You might just snap.
But I haven't done it. This is fascinating because they got a letter from Major League Baseball banning them from future games. Really? The women were standing in the second row, slightly to the first base side behind the plate. Their stunt was seen live on Fox by the camera shooting from center field. Cole, the pitcher, stepped off the mound, but it's unclear whether or not he was distracted by the women.
But it was visible on Fox's live broadcast. Yes. The two women were ejected from the ballpark following the incident. Their names are
Lauren Schumer, and Julia Rose.
Yeah. And I guess they're big Instagrammers. They have millions of followers. And I guess one of their sites on Instagram documents scantily clad women. So I don't know if they were doing it for PR or were they really trying to help the Nats?
Well, I don't know about that. But one of the women claims the stunt was for breast cancer awareness to help pay off a woman's medical bills because her subscription to the site would result in the proceeds going to the woman with breast cancer. That's what one of the women said. But again, you cannot free the nipple at a Major League Baseball park, even though that is a real movement to free the nipple. If men's breasts can be exposed, why can't women's? Banned. Boom. Done. Out. You're out.
Wow.
One strike and you're out if you free the nipple and you're a woman at a Major League Baseball park.
But it was the seventh inning. Was it the seventh inning stretch? Maybe they were just stretching.
I'm pretty sure
something...
they were not just stretching.
A wardrobe malfunction.
Pretty sure they were not.
All right.
When we get back, Tim Lammers is in. We are going to talk streaming. He recommended Goliath. I've been watching. Totally addicted. Absolutely love it. I also watched another suggestion of his called The Laundromat, which is a movie, feature film, about laundering money.
Really kissing up to Tim today.
You know what? The suggestions have been really good, and I've been enjoying them. Let's hear what he's got to say with more streaming ideas next.
Paul and Jordana. This is the fourth funeral I've been to this month.
An outrageous called having a social life.
Norman?
Madeline? We dated before Eileen.
It's a wonder that neither of us got hurt.
What are you talking about? I was constantly pulling one muscle or another. Boy, oh boy, what a great funeral.
It's called The Kominsky Method. Lots of big stars. Michael Douglas, Alan Arkin, and our big star, Tim Lammers, is joining us. His streaming reviews are brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.
Hey, Tim.
Tim, I heard you giggling.
Just because I love Alan Arkin, yes. I love Michael Douglas. Thanks for the big star, how you gave that name to me. Please.
You're our star.
Thank you. I'm just a dopey guy who has the wonderful opportunity to talk with folks like you every week. And look, the Kominsky Method, did you see season one?
I did.
Yeah. And Paul, what about you?
I have not seen it yet. It's on my list. Tell me why I should watch this one, Tim.
Well, I guess, maybe the best way, just listening to that little clip there, and the best thing you could maybe compare it to is Grumpy Old Men. I mean, you're talking about, I guess you could call it a sitcom, although there are dramatic moments, but it has to do with an 80-year-old agent played by Alan Arkin, best friend of a 70-year-old actor played by Michael Douglas. They have a bunch of old man problems that they're dealing with, with love, with life, and it's very, very funny stuff. I mean, the first season was brilliant, got Emmy nominations right out of the gate, which is really rare for any sort of television series, but again, the extraordinary actors. This second season, you heard Alan Arkin referring to reconnecting with someone after 50 years. That's Jane Seymour. So she's in this season. And then Kominsky, played by Michael Douglas, his daughter, who is in her early 30s, is dating a man twice her age. Uh-oh. And he looks a lot older than he is, but it is Paul Reiser. You have some wonderful additions to the cast, and in a short scene, and I wish there was more of her, but Kathleen Turner plays the first of Michael Douglas's ex-wives, and she's only in one brilliant scene in the first episode. But it's a very funny show. It's a poignant show. I mean, not everything is wine and roses, especially when you get up there. I mean, there are going to be complications, some of them life-threatening, and you're going to find out what sort of things are threatening these guys, or at least one of them, in this season.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first season. I'm looking forward to the second. Did you see it at all?
I have not, but I'm going to watch it now. So it has a tongue-in-cheek sense of humor. I like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's more humor than it is drama, that's for sure. I mean, it's laugh-out-loud funny stuff. The great thing is, Paul, like the first season, 8 episodes, and they're all about a half hour apiece. Some is as short as like 21, 22 minutes, just like a regular sitcom would be. So you can really breeze through these things. Honest to God, if you wanted to, you could get through a whole season in a night.
Okay. Let's hope
that compelling.
Let's hope the next series you're talking about is also laugh out loud funny, because it's Eddie Murphy in Dolomite Is My Name.
Oh, he's back. What'd you do to your hair? You look like a pimp.
It's all pretend. I just created a character.
Dolomite.
You true.
Pull on that.
Oh, that's a
wig. That's right.
Whatever it takes, I'm ready to do it. I got to be totally outrageous.
It's filthy. You've got a product here that you can't sell or promote.
Is it worth it?
It is definitely worth it. Now, I should note, The Kominsky Method is on Netflix, as is Dolomite Is My Name. And this is actually an original film. So it's a 2-hour film on Netflix, exclusively made by Netflix. And it's based on a true story of an actor named Rudy Ray Moore. In 1975, he did a film called Dolomite. This man wasn't really talented as far as acting is concerned. He's like the Ed Wood of acting. He's really terrible, but he almost wills himself to success. Eddie Murphy is really a terrific actor. He is actually one of my all-time favorite comedians. I've loved him since the Saturday Night Live days. Now, granted, he's had some bombs along the way at the movies, but he's shown that he can not only be funny with 48 Hours and Beverly Hills Cop, but if you saw him in Dreamgirls, you know the man also has some great dramatic chops, and he actually shows both of those sensibilities here in this movie, although it is a comedic movie. So I would highly recommend it, although like you heard in that clip, it is very filthy. Dolomite is actually a movie you can see on Amazon from 1975, and you're going to find out right away that this thing is filthy but funny. So if you get offended at that stuff, just be wary going in.
Sure, that's right up your alley.
Yeah, right up my alley.
Learn some new words.
I'm excited next week because Apple TV is debuting Friday, and Tim is going to give his review on The Morning Show starring Jennifer Aniston and C starring Jason Momoa. We're looking forward to that, Tim.
Oh, God, yeah. And you know what? And I got early access to those episodes. I've only gotten through the first episode of The Morning Show at this point. A very different side of Jennifer Aniston.
Hmm. Well, we can't wait.
This is not a Friends sort of a show. So that'll be my little, tease for next week. Just get ready to see something different from her.
Awesome.
Tim Lammers, you're the best. Thanks for joining us. And Tim's reviews
are brought
to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorney seeking justice for the injured. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.
One of the questions that comes in frequently, is Jordana, Minnesota nice? And I usually answer that. I pause and I think about that. Something happened earlier today that made me question my preconceived notions about Minnesota nice and Jordana Green. That's next.
Paul and Jordana.
Jordana and Paul here. I'm glad you're back and feeling better.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
David and I got to spend the morning together, as we mentioned earlier in the show. David and I went out to McDonald's in Cottage Grove. And when we drove back, we were looking for parking downtown. David doesn't pay, the $250 or whatever it is for a garage downtown.
Yeah, heated, reserved spot. I don't do that whole deal.
Highway robbery.
Heated. Wow. You know. Heated?
Yeah, yours is heated. Okay,
no,
Mr. Fancy Pants.
It's not heated.
All right, Fancy Pants. So we're looking on the street for parking. So we're looking, and we circle once, and then we see a car whose lights turn on. And I said, oh, David, right there on the left. There's a spot right there up ahead. So David pulls up behind the car, pulls over on the side of the road and pulls up behind the car. And then the person is kind of chilling in the car. They're texting or doing whatever they're doing in the car. It's their car. It's their spot. They get to do that. And I said, well, pull up. Let's see if she's getting out, because there's people starting to line up behind him now. We're on a very busy street downtown. And he just kind of sits there. And I said, well, do you want me to get out and go knock on her window? David does not respond. And then a few minutes later, he says, I'm just going to go around and see if there's a spot on 8th. And I look at him. I go, David, pull up and see if she's pulling out. So he pulls up, and she notices us, and she rolls down her window. And one of us said, are you pulling out? And she goes, yeah, I'm leaving. I said, great. David pulled back. She pulled out. We got into the spot. And then we get into our show meeting, and he reprimanded me for being a bee.
A bee?
Yeah.
A queen bee?
I got that man a parking spot. So I think he is off point saying that I was a pushy New Jersey gal.
Well, I mean, the Minnesota nice thing to do would have been to say, look, that's her spot. She paid for it. I'm not going to aggravate her by honking my horn or even rolling down my window. I'm not going to engage. I don't want to threaten her. I don't want to in any way.
Asking if she's pulling out of the spot is threatening?
Now, look, that story was 100% true.
Okay, good.
Until the part about the show meeting and what I said about you.
David,
I did not call you any derogative words or letters.
No. David is way too nice to say that. But he goes, Jordana, it didn't even occur to me to pull up next to her and ask if she was leaving. I was just going to go look for another spot.
Because that's what you do in Minnesota. You don't go honk at somebody.
Right.
You don't knock on the window.
Right.
You don't pull up and pressure them. No. You just go around the block. And you find a different spot that can be your spot because they are in that spot. That's their deal.
They paid for that spot.
You just go around the block.
She paid for that spot. But
maybe in Jersey, where you're from, you like
honk and make
them angry.
I can be plenty rude. But I did not even. I'm like, this is just how people act. This is normal interactions in life. Are you leaving your spot? Great, you're leaving. I'm going to take it after you. I didn't even think that this person would be put out. In any
way. But the message you're sending by confronting her.
I did not confront her. I just asked if she was leaving.
Is that I'm in a hurry. Get out of my way.
Okay. Somebody needs to call into this radio station right now and tell these boys they're completely insane.
I think I like your world better where you're allowed to do that.
Oh, but
that
loud.
Is. But that is not the world that we live in here in Minnesota.
Look,
you don't do that.
When I moved here in 83, it took me months to just simmer the hell down, to just calm down. Because I would, you know, out east, a light turns green.
And you're on the horn, baby.
And if people aren't moving immediately, people
are. You're getting
the bird. Mm-hmm. And here, I did that once or twice, and people looked at me like I was an alien. Like, why would you do that?
But, Paul.
You have to.
I was so nice. I just said, are you leaving? It wasn't like, are you moving? Are you leaving? Like, I didn't even do the whole Jersey thing. I just said, are you pulling out? And she was like, yeah, I'm pulling out. And she pulled out, and she was totally fine with it. The fact that it didn't even occur to David to ask is the disconnect for me.
Well,
just ask for what you want. And you know what? You might get it, because that was a great freaking spot, really close to the station. Killer spot, David.
It's back to the whole passive aggressive.
And by the way, remember to feed the meter. Okay, remember to feed your meter.
Oh, so I need to do that right now.
Yeah, don't get a ticket. That's right, don't get a ticket. All right, I asked for callers. Mike, you tell them they're nuts. You tell them, Mike.
I was in Chicago in 1970-something, and my introduction to the concept that you just outlined, that's where I learned it. And it was kind of odd to me. I'm not even in a car, but I'm approaching one on the side by the sidewalk, you know, and this person rolls down their window, and they yell to me, are you coming out?
Oh, they wanted your spot that you were going to get into. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's not what I thought they were talking about when they yelled at me.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Funny.
But personal.
I do agree, you know, that, yes, it's not an imposition to ask politely if you're coming out. And because if you go around the...
Thank you, Mike.
If you go around the block, they might have pulled out and somebody has pulled in. So there you go. You just lost. You know?
Mike, well said.
Oh, well said. Oh, my.
He's on the right track.
Oh,
Dana? Dana's in Minneapolis. Tell them they're crazy, Dana.
This is Donna.
Donna. Hi, Donna.
Hi. I'm with you, Josh. Born and raised in Minnesota, and I asked. Even when I went to Normandale School, you'd pull up to the door and say, I'll take you to your car. I'll take your spot.
I'll take you. Because spots are hard to come by. So it's gold if you find somebody pulling up.
The block forever.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Donna says right. She's with me.
Still think it's a little rude. I think it's a little pushy. It's a little East Coast.
Donna,
it's,
you're a good woman.
It's a little in your
and
face.
And you're very nice.
Donna,
thank you.
I'm sorry she got your name wrong, no. Donna.
Clark's in St. Paul. Clark, tell them they're nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to get out of that spot. You know, take care of your business when you're not in the car. You get in the car, you got to look around and see if there's someone waiting to get in. Then you're obliged to get out. We got business to take care of. It's a big kid world.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Clark has business. I had business.
But she paid for that spot.
Oh, my gosh.
She put money into the meter.
Okay.
I'd like to use every last minute I'm entitled to and paid for it.
I'm so proud, by the way, of these Minnesotans calling in.
Hold on. But that last so car, proud. Clark was talking about a different issue. He's talking about whether you should sit in your car and do business in that spot.
Yeah, get the hell out.
That's a different issue than we're talking about.
Not really.
Well, she was texting.
She was texting.
What was she doing?
She wasn't like, she didn't need that to go.
Yeah, but you weren't
business.
Angry with her for sitting in the spot for a while. You just wanted
all.
To know if she was leaving.
That's true. I just wanted to know. Because sometimes, look, here's the deal. Sometimes you go and you're waiting for somebody inside the building. And I get that. You still have to maintain your spot. You might be getting out. I get that. I wasn't angry at all. I was
Did
actually
you
very nice.
Flash the lights and actually honk the horn a
David,
few times?
None of those things happened.
None of those things?
David would never allow
wow.
that because he actually is nice.
That's restrained.
Me, not so much, but I was nice this morning.
Paul, if you were the one in that car and you're just maybe pulling up directions or texting your wife, I'll be home in 20
right.
minutes,
right.
and Jordana comes up behind you, coming in hot, wanting your spot, how would you react to that? Do you sit there for another half an hour just to stick it to her?
I think it would depend how she approached.
Okay,
how she approached me.
So you'd stay there and stick it to her
if she was friendly and said, "Hey, is there any way I could?"
We just decided though it's not friendly to be that car that is pressuring you to get out of your spot.
If she first complimented me on my car, if she said, "Man, is that a what?
Which car are you driving in this hypothetical?"
Yeah.
Oh,
and how do you get your hair to do that, sir?
Barb,
if she did that, then maybe I would
please
actually
talk some sense into these delicate flowers. Please, Barb.
Yeah, Barb.
Don't take your side. I don't understand it at all. I mean, they're making it sound like you held a gun to the woman's head. For God's sakes, anyway, you just asked her a simple, nice question.
You guys, you're nuts.
Thank
you, Barb. She told you you were nuts. I did. Then there were no weapons involved. There were, maybe if Paul was around, but there were no weapons involved.
A Jersey woman, I thought, is a weapon.
I am weaponized now. That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
I have been weaponized.
Wow.
I weaponized David's car by just being in it.
I think you have to be careful when you go up to a stranger's vehicle. I'm just saying, in general, you want to assume
this
the
is
best.
The most insane conversation
I would not have been surprised at all if in that situation, if the person would have rolled their window down and said, "What are you doing? Don't bother me," and roll it back up again.
You wouldn't have said that. You're nice.
I would not have said that because
you're
I would
nice.
Have, but I would have wanted to say that.
Really?
Part of me would have wanted to say, just go find your own spot. This is mine.
98% of the people are good. No issues. 2% bad apples.
Even if it was a bad apple, I would have said, are you pulling out? Maybe they would have said, look, dude, I need to do some work. Okay, how long? Because I need a spot. I would have negotiated a little for it. You know, how long are you going to be here? Should I circle, wait for me to come back?
You know, if you had brought this person muffins, if you bring them food, just like a little,
only home baked, though. It's nothing store-bought.
Just a muffin.
I didn't even think that this was a segment. I thought what I was doing was normal life.
It's still not a segment.
Like, I was doing life when I asked that lady how long she was going to be there. And then when David came in and was like, Jor busted out the jersey in the car, I'm like, whoa, back it up. What is happening here? I can't believe that. I mean, thank God at least these Minnesotans who called in. Thank you very much, callers. They all agree.
So we can agree. In summary, it was a little aggressive. It was a little pushy.
Definitely
it was a little
aggressive.
Passive-aggressive. Yep.
She
got her way.
There's four people in this state that agree with Jordana, herself and those three callers. The rest of us
set those up.
The rest of us wouldn't bother to call because we're passive Minnesotans.
I'd go down one block and just say, all right, that woman fought for that spot.
You know what? David would still be circling if it wasn't
for
me.
I did just plug my meter, so don't worry. I won't get a ticket.
Okay, I hope not. Still be looking for a spot if it wasn't for good old JG over here. I got you. I'll take care of you, baby. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
All right. Are we done?
We're done.
We're done. What are you going as Thursday evening?
Not a child bride, because Kmart pulled the bride costume for children.
Yes.
And I'm not advocating child bridedom, but it was a silly conversation that we had yesterday.
Yeah. Oops.
So the favorite candy in each state polls are abound on the internet, and they're all wrong.
I kind of buy into this one, though, of all of them. This is based on Google searches. You know, we many times say one thing, and then we do another. And Google searches sometimes are the bottom line of what we really think. Based on Google, in Minnesota, it's Snickers. Snickers bars are number one.
I can get on board with that. I had two Snickers today. I totally get on board with that.
Wisconsin, they say pretzel M&Ms.
Ooh, those are good.
Iowa Reese's peanut butters.
Yes.
Cups, I get that. Gummy worms in South Dakota and hot tamales in North Dakota. Jolly Ranchers in Illinois.
Oh, please. That's ridiculous. That's not a Halloween candy.
Swedish Fish
in
Kentucky.
That's like what the old guy at my synagogue keeps in his pocket. It's Jolly Ranchers. No, don't be ridiculous.
Really? But I can get on board with Snickers. I'm a Snickers guy.
That's right. Yeah. I believe the Star Tribune pushed back today because in this USA Today poll, the Minnesota favorite candy was Tootsie Pops.
What?
Also, I don't believe that a lollipop is a Halloween candy because that takes too long to eat. Halloween candy, you unwrap, you take a bite. If you don't like it, you toss it. If you do, you keep eating. You switch, you trade. I mean, a Tootsie Pop, that's, I don't know. I don't see that as a real Halloween candy.
I'm not anti-Tootsie Pop, but I don't necessarily buy that.
And they say the Minnesota's second favorite candy? Listen up, David. Candy corn. And Minnesota's third favorite candy? Candy corn.
Isn't that what you feed the livestock?
Excuse me?
I would not feed that to my livestock.
No?
Candy corn is the perfect candy.
Do you have more respect for your livestock?
I do, yeah.
Now, we debated this at length on the show yesterday when you were not here. And again, like the parking, you're both wrong.
Well, there's two of us. There's only one of you.
It's true. But I don't know. Were the listeners with me yesterday?
I'd say it's a mixed bag.
Okay, so you're a liar. See, he's nice, but he's lying right now.
He's lying through his teeth.
Through his non-candy corn stuck teeth.
But candy corn is a little like wasabi, so right? You might try a little bit of it, but you're not going to eat the whole glob of wasabi.
I'm going to eat the whole
and live to tell the story. But candy corn, I might try one or two just to say I did it.
But yeah, that's... Oh
no. But that's... No.
It just doesn't like
me.
Give me
a Snickers bar or a Reese's.
I love the Reese's.
Or
that's
Skittles.
Yeah.
Any of that.
The kids know when they come home with the bag, they have to empty out. I get all the king-size Reese's. It's a little bit like extortion. Like, if you want to sleep here tonight, the king-size Reese's right now. Just put those in my little cupboard where you don't touch my stuff.
But no toothpaste. Don't hand out those little toothbrushes
Don't do the raisins. Don't do the raisins. Don't do the floss.
How about an apple?
Nope. No, thank you very much.
Here's a nice, shiny apple, sir.
Not on Halloween. Yeah. What was your... In my house, we have candy for dinner on Halloween after the kids come home and trick-or-treat.
I'm amazed you all have your teeth.
It is amazing.
How is that?
Again, white sugar is one of our food groups. Not proud of it. I just tell you the truth, my friends. It's just full transparency.
You turned out okay in spite of all these crazy things.
Are you ready to talk about sex?
Probably not, but I'm going to go through the motions. Coming up with Lori Watson next.
Paul and Jordana.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.